Gavin Kelly is the Chief Executive Officer of the Road Freight Association. Gavin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. How are you doing?
Well, better than the trucking industry, it appears. Just that first point, I mean, Gavin, is this something, it's been around for around 4 years now, I think. Is it something that the media zooms in and out of, but it continues with or without media coverage? Or are there upsurges in attacks on trucks?
I think there's a combination of that. There are upsurges here and there, and the upsurges happen when the unhappy guys get impatient with the slow turning off the government wheel in terms of progress and resolving some of these issues. And then, yes, other things will happen, like COVID-19 will come along. That's a new, fresh story. So the current media focus then shifts to something else. But you're quite right. This has been around for a number of years, at least 2.5 years, that these sort of violent attacks have been around with us. But it has been ongoing. It hasn't really stopped.
Do you have any idea of the total number of trucks that have been burnt?
Is this over this weekend?
No, but since this started.
Well, we've probably passed the 200 mark. Not all of the trucks have been totally destroyed. But in terms of trucks burnt, we've probably passed the 200 mark over the 4 years easily.
And the value of that, I mean, because they were all probably, most of them, carrying cargo.
Yeah, you know, a truck, depending on the size of the vehicle and who you buy from, but the average price for a truck, a combination of two trailers and a horse or a truck tractor, as we call it, is probably going to be in the region of about 3 million rand. If you've got a specialized truck, it might climb to about 5 million rand. If you're carrying fuel, for example, or perishable goods, so you've got special hygienically sealed containers. And then, of course, if you add the cargo to it, you're probably going to start looking at, in some cases, 6 or 7 million rand for the vehicle, as low as maybe 2 million rand if it's all, and up to 10 million rand if you're carrying a nice load of fuel. So then you start to look at that. You take the 200, times it by something, you know, reasonable, let's say 5 million rand at a shot. So suddenly you're looking at 2 billion rand. And, of course, we haven't spoken about the lives of people and how those lives we impacted have impacted the people at home. Because often a driver doesn't just have, you know, a wife. There's always extended family that he's looking after as the breadwinner.
Yeah, I mean, thank goodness, there, as far as I can tell from the media coverage that I've read and watched, there haven't been deaths or serious injuries in the latest sort of week-long upsurge.
We've had one death so
far. One death, okay.
A driver was burnt in his cab, and I can tell you that nobody wants to go that way at all. And we haven't confirmed the report yet, but it seems to have been a South African citizen, which then brings to question this whole foreign driver matter that's raised his head. And then we have another driver who was shot at who's critical in hospital. Okay. So we could have, unfortunately, another fatality.
And Gavin, you brought up the foreign driver, and I would think that if you asked 100 people in the general public who are aware of this what the reason for the attacks is, it would be that the attacks are because your industry supposedly ignores locally qualified drivers in favor of foreign drivers. Is it your sense that that is the reason for most, if not all, of the attacks?
Well, that's the narrative that's put out there, John, that this is what has caused it. It definitely was raised a couple of years ago and was the initial reason for the protests that we saw. And when we look at the figures, then we look at what we know of who's registered through the National Bargaining Council. And, of course, there raises the first little specter that we took to government 2 years ago and said you need to address. And that is the fact that those who want to operate legally are registered. They ensure their drivers are registered, et cetera, et cetera. And if you look at those operators who are registered through the council, there are about 60,000 odd employees registered through that council. And of those 60,000 odd employees, there's just on 6,500 foreign drivers. Now, that gives you an indication of how many foreign drivers there are. It's just on 10%.
Okay, but let me put on my hat as somebody who is a qualified South African driver. I hope that I wouldn't go to the extent of burning a truck believing it to be driven by a foreigner or to be owned by a company that my narrative has hiring more foreign drivers than local drivers. But if I were a fully qualified local driver, I think I'd be upset at the fact that I couldn't find a job when 6,500 jobs are occupied by foreign drivers.
Yes, I think you would have a point there. Obviously, there are various aspects that need to be looked at. And the first one would be is, why are you not employed? And let's just say that the individual, you, if you're using yourself as an example, John, or even myself, that we don't have any bar to driving, so we haven't committed any of those nasty road traffic offences or any other offences that would bar us from driving. So if we're just looking for employment, we know that times are tough, and we know that in many instances there are people who don't have jobs in the skills they qualified for. But does that give you reason to start burning? If you can't get that job, especially if those 6,500 individuals that I've spoken about are all legally employed. They do have work permits. They do have the necessary permits. The problem is, John, the thousands of others who are not in the system and the other companies who are operating outside of this whole process of being required to register. That is where the problem lies, and that's okay. Where our frustration lies.
How large is that sector? I mean, how many trucks on the road coming from people in that sector who are outside of the regulations?
Well, that's a very, very good question. And that's one of the things that we put to government, at the door of government 2.5 years ago. We said we need to tighten up those who operate on the road. You need to have a very clear process of registering operators and who they use as drivers. So I can't tell you how many there are because we don't know.
Okay.
All we know is that there are a fair amount of either unregistered or illegally operating operators out there.
And would they hire people who are not properly qualified to drive, both in terms of their driving history and in terms of the paperwork permitting them to operate in South Africa if they are not born in South Africa?
Well, if you're already jumping the hedge or jumping the fence in terms of not meeting the basic conditions of registration, if you're taking shortcuts, then obviously you're going to start employing people who you don't want to pay the minimum wages to, the basic conditions of employment to, and then you're going to take those shortcuts. So the answer to that is yes. That is where the majority of it lies. Obviously, there have been some operators, registered operators, who've employed foreigners, but over the last couple of years, they have worked them out. When I say worked them out, you understand they've reduced them to get themselves fully compliant.
And then, Gavin, the policing of this, there have been a couple of arrests over the last couple of days, but I don't know the extent. And you said this has been around for roughly 2.5 years. Arrests, successful prosecutions, convictions, jail sentences for people found guilty of an attack on a truck.
Well, that was one of the points that we raised in our open letter to the president, was that it would seem that our law enforcement services, the SAPs, and the whole judicial process is failing us because the arrests have been made, the arrests haven't been made in the right context. So how many people were arrested in 2019 and 18 when we had drivers killed for murder or attempted murder? It's just been, you know, public violence. Now the driver that's been murdered, who's going to be arrested for that? So there haven't been any, from what we can see, successful prosecutions and then decent sentences meted out to stop this.
And again, I was saying earlier in reference to the attacks on Golden Arrow buses, which was testified about in a parliamentary committee in the Western Cape Regional Parliament yesterday. It's a failure of crime intelligence because I don't know how organized this is. I don't know whether there is a central controlling body which is sending messages out to people saying, you know, burn here, burn there, let's move focus of operations there because police are patrolling there, or whether these are entirely random, arbitrary, individually inspired acts. But one way or another, you'd expect crime intelligence to be on the ground, to be listening and to be following clues so that those clues can be handed over to SAP so it can be a formal investigation and a docket can be handed over to a prosecutor, can take that docket to court where a judge or a magistrate, depending on the level of the crime, can deliver a verdict.
Correct. We raised that point as well. There seems to be no crime intelligence of any substance at all. We have a fair amount of notices, letters, calls for action having gone out on social media by individuals who've identified themselves. They have aligned themselves. They have incited violence. They've encouraged drivers to do certain things. And then stand back and say, but it's not us. It's somebody else. So I agree with you. And that's what we've said to the president, is you need to make sure the South African police services get that intelligence and act before these sorts of things come to pass.
Gavin Kelly, thank you very much. Chief Executive Officer of the Road Freight Association.